Coming to you from Atlanta, this is VoiceOver Work, an audiobook sampler. Where do you listen? Today is Monday, March 11th, 2024. Today's episode is the chapter-by-chapter preview of Patrick King's book, Make Friends Easily. Patrick King says, "The quality of your life cannot rise above the quality of your relationships." In this book, you can learn how to improve your relationships with concepts such as understanding a five-part friendship formula, mastering reciprocal curiosity, how to help people think out loud, a question framework that can work in any situation, and the rule of three in conversations. Let's take a moment now for the chapter-by-chapter preview of Patrick King's Make Friends Easily. Chapter 1. Getting to Know You. Loneliness is an epidemic. More than half of Americans report that they feel lonely, and despite living in one of the world's densest cities, 55% of London residents say they feel isolated, and 62% of young Australian adults report the same. With the fallout from COVID lockdowns all over the world, it's no surprise that millions of people in the world now claim they have no friends and that socializing is harder than ever before. Do you feel the same? This book is for you if you'd like to connect more with others and connect more authentically, make new friends, improve the friendships you already have, become more comfortable and confident in social situations, become a better conversationalist, get out of your comfort zone, become a dazzling, ultra-charming social butterfly. Well, that last one may be an exaggeration. Nevertheless, the hope is that by the end of this book, you'll see that becoming a charming, likable, and confident social butterfly is not as unachievable as you might first think. Let's be honest. Our world is becoming a strange, fractured place with an increasing sense of division between people. Life is busy. Even those of us who consider ourselves friendly extroverts may find that certain periods in life pose challenges to building a healthy support network. With the rise in certain technologies and lifestyles, you could be forgiven for thinking that the art of conversation and friendship making is in massive decline. But all is not lost. Making friends is not some mysterious dark art, but something that anyone, yes, even you, can learn to do, no matter where you're starting from. In the chapters that follow, we'll be looking at how people become friends in the first place and how to engineer those circumstances yourself. We'll consider ways to create your own personal aura of confidence and likability using simple techniques you can practice immediately. We'll explore how to ask questions, listen actively, tell stories, create witty banter, and reveal more about yourself in just the right way and at the right time. You'll learn more about why previous friendship-making efforts may have failed and how to make sure you're removing any future obstacles to real connection so you can build rapport with others quickly and reliably. One caveat, however, there won't be any of the old conventional advice in these pages, like suggestions to join a meetup group or try to find the love of your life at a community pottery class. The truth is, your life circumstances are completely unique to you, and no book could ever claim to tell you exactly where to meet your future friends or what they'll look like. Most of us already know the standard advice to join an interest group, get involved in your community, sign up to volunteer, or join a church, parents group, singles club, or the like. This is good advice, and it works best when you actually do it. But for many of us, meeting people is just the first step. It's what happens next that's difficult, right? That's where this book comes in. The principles and techniques discussed here will help you take those first crucial moments of meeting someone new and nurture them so that you... Chapter 2, The Friendship Mindset, The Art of Active Listening. Do you know someone who is a really bad listener? Sadly, the modern world is full to bursting with them, so chances are you do. Think about them right now and try to recall conversations with them. When did you most feel unheard in their presence? Why? What were they doing? And importantly, what weren't they doing? Let's look at a story of the kind of person you might have encountered in your own life. We'll call him Jez. Jez is a great guy and considers himself a people person. In fact, he believes he's better than average when it comes to understanding what makes people tick and is something of an armchair psychologist. He tells people, "I'm a great listener. People are always asking my advice." Jez genuinely thinks he's an empathic person. The trouble is, he's not. Take a look at the following conversation and see if you can spot why. "Well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes with the new guy. But it's the early days, and so, I'm listening. I'm just keeping things open-ended for now, you know? I didn't even want a new boyfriend a month ago, so... I completely understand. Anyway, we were out yesterday, and he said to me, 'Sometimes, when we've been hurt in the past, we can keep people at arm's length to protect ourselves. I get it.' Well, yeah, I guess. I'm not really keeping him at arm's length, I don't think. More like taking it nice and relaxed. Last time I rushed into a new relationship... But this time, I know exactly what you mean. This time, you're not willing to open yourself up again, because you can't really trust people. Have you ever considered that you actually may have PTSD? It's more common than you think." PTSD? No way. "Look, you don't have to be ashamed at all. Don't worry. It's all so complicated, isn't it, getting involved with a new person?" Obviously, reading the above, nobody would say that Jez is a good listener. You can probably notice his astounding lack of curiosity, but it goes further than this. He interrupts. Instead of listening to how his friend feels, he's telling her how she feels. We'll be taking a much closer look at interruption later in the book. He offers her an interpretation of events, rather than asking her about her interpretation. "You can't trust people." He gives advice and makes diagnoses, which, even if they were accurate, are not wanted. He's not paying attention to the actual emotional content of the conversation. He's using the conversation to play at being good with people and ignoring the person in front of him. He's using labels to describe his friend's experience that she herself does not use. PTSD. Complicated. He is reacting inappropriately and disproportionately. The friend is having a relaxed, lighthearted conversation, and Jez is treating it like a soul-bearing, deep and meaningful therapy session. It isn't. Basically, it's very clear what this conversation is all about. Jez. Everything else. Chapter 3. Turning on the Charm. Storytelling in Conversations. If you can apply the friendship formula, create your own reality distortion field, and communicate an attitude of curiosity by asking questions and genuinely listening, then you are already well on your way to becoming a likable, trustworthy, charming person. Many people spend their entire lives not quite mastering these basic steps, so take a moment to appreciate any little progress you've made. That said, there will come a time when presence, eye contact, questions, and so on are not quite enough. You may be wondering, what do I actually say when I'm talking? In this chapter, we'll be looking at how to tell engaging stories, dish out witty banter, and piece together a fun, lively conversation that draws people to you. Whatever you do, however, don't forget the real foundations of a good conversation: humility, curiosity, and open-mindedness. Don't forget that you travel most of the way with good eye contact, open posture, well-timed questions, and genuine listening. Only once all these things are established is it worth thinking about how you're going to talk, tell stories, or make jokes. Stories and anecdotes are like the icing on the cake. But you really do need that cake. Okay, so let's start with an obvious question. Are you a good storyteller? Perhaps you've heard an amazing joke that made you die with laughter, and yet, when you told it, the whole thing fell flat. Maybe you find that people always seem bored and distracted when you're relating a story, or that you're frequently interrupted. Perhaps you've just stopped trying to tell jokes at all, certain that you'll only mess them up. Let's get one thing straight. Anyone can be a good storyteller, including you. You don't need to be the most fascinating person in the room, a stand-up comedian, or an extrovert. You don't need to be funny, or a rock star, or fake. But telling a good story is an art, and it seldom happens by accident. Here are the elements that every good story has to have: a hook, brevity, a point, and plenty of feeling. Why stories matter. Author and programmer Scott Young recounts this charming story on his blog. It had finally happened. Scientists traveled from around the globe to marvel at it. We'd finally created a computer that was as powerful as the human brain. It could calculate numbers at a blurring rate and engage in human dialogue. There was just one question remaining. Was it just a big calculator, or could it actually be conscious? The scientists decided the best test would be to ask the computer itself, "Are you conscious?" Upon receiving the request, the computer processed continuously for hours. Hours became days, but after an entire week, the computer had arrived at an answer. The scientists huddled around the screen to see the reply. In bright green letters on the screen, the computer wrote, "You know, that reminds me of a story." This is kind of a fun meta-anecdote, a story about stories. It tells us that there is something fundamentally human about storytelling, that it characterizes our consciousness and ability to think. What's more, it's relational. A story is about communication, connection, understanding. Chapter 4, When Ego Gets in the Way, The Narcissism Ratio. By now, it should be clear that the art of socializing, being charismatic, and making friends is an emotional art, not a rational or intellectual one. Charisma is nothing more than the quality that enables us to connect with and inspire others on an emotional level, without being coercive or threatening. That, in a nutshell, is what a friend is. To be charming, likable, and trustworthy, you need to create a certain feeling in people, and that means that the focus is always on them, not us. We can think of the narcissism ratio as the proportions of these two different points of focus. The higher the proportion of attention, consideration, and focus on the other person, the more charismatic and likable we seem. The more we focus on ourselves, the more narcissistic we appear to others, and the less likely we are to form deep, trusting connections with them. If, in a conversation, you refer to yourself, I, me, or my, 10 times as often as you refer to the other person, you, for example, then that's a pretty skewed ratio. But it's not as straightforward as that. There are many more subtle ways of dominating the conversation, steering things toward yourself, or being unresponsive to the other person that make you, ultimately, a conversational narcissist. Who's the biggest threat to our own charm and charisma? Well, that's easy. We are. Are you a conversational narcissist? Here are some of the signs. You take more airtime. Good conversations are not about you or the other person saying something interesting. Rather,
They are about the connection between you both. However, if you're simply talking too much, there's a strong chance you're not leaving enough space for others. Holding court means you don't pay as much attention to other people's needs, perceptions, or expressions as much as you do your own. Naturally, you'll come across a little self-absorbed. You'll always direct the topic. Are you constantly the one who decides not only what the conversation topic is, but how that conversation unfolds? Another way to ask this question is, do you often find yourself annoyed that other people are slightly changing the conversation topic or direction since it's not what you want to talk about? It may happen that you notice the other person do this, then simply carry on saying what you were saying before they spoke. You interrupt. First of all, interrupting is not always a major offense. Sometimes people talk all at once simply because they're excited and want to emphasize and support what the person is saying. More on this later. But regularly interrupting is probably one of the most destructive conversational habits you can have. It's essentially sending the message, I'm more important than you. I deserve to speak more than you do. Interrupting is often felt by others to be extremely invalidating and undermining. It tells us that not only is a person not interested in what we have to say, but they are so uncurious about it that they are willing to cut us off. You invalidate people. If deep down you think that your perspective is the only one that really matters, you're going to hold other people's perspectives in contempt. You're going to think that... You've reached the end of another episode of Voiceover Work, an audiobook sampler. Where do you listen? Connect with us at newtonmg.com and don't forget to sign up for the author's newsletter at bit.ly/PK Consulting. See you next week with another audiobook preview.